Module 3, Planning and Program Management. As public administrators, planning and program management is a vital key component to implementing successful policy implementation. Good planning systems help execute public strategy and public policy. Intelligent agendas and building a strong network help implement and evaluate those programs. Think strategically as a public administrator and always consider both the short and long-term implications of a public policy. Remember, as the chapter concludes, every minute spent planning will save 3 or 4 in execution. Planning is an important cornerstone in program management and management success, and often success is synonymous with program planning and management. The essence of planning is, of course, to see the opportunities, the threats, and the pitfalls before they occur, and to exploit or ameliorate them before decisions are made in present time. It's important to develop policy statements for goals relative to the importance of each policy and public policy administrative outcome. Goals should be determined, and managers may select planning approaches that are most appropriate for that particular situation. Popular rational planning include model, logical incrementalism, vision plans, urban and regional planning, contingency planning, and crisis management planning. Let's talk briefly about a few of these. As pointed out in Figure 5.2 of the text, logical incrementalism is an approach to public policymaking that builds on the assumption that logic dictates what administrators proceed flexibly and experimentally from broad ideas towards specific areas of interest. Logical incrementalism is, of course, developing public policy on a small scale towards a larger overall purpose that makes sense logically within the confines of what the current political or perhaps budgetary environment is. Urban and regional planning is also a very good example of program planning and management. And urban planning is the basic function of any city government and has to be dealt with in issues that are comprehensive and coordinated in large scale. Oftentimes, cities in the West tend to be criticized because urban planning isn't taken into account and urban sprawl occurs. Conversely, cities in the East that are more densely populated also have issues relating to urban planning because long-term issues to short-term problems such as overpopulation, such as density, such as providing goods and services to certain areas are also causes for concern. Contingency plans are also very important when it comes to program planning and management. And contingency plans are those that we put in motion when an emergency or a situation arises that we weren't expecting. Contingency planning is the infamous what-if planning. Oftentimes, states have a rainy day fund, and that can be seen as a form of contingency planning, where if revenue projections don't come in at a certain level, the emergency rainy day fund is able to kick in to continue to fund certain state programs. Finally, crisis management planning. And crisis management planning can, in certain cases, be a downfall for public administrators if not done properly. There are different types of forms of crises. Obviously, natural accidents such as fires and earthquakes, and many places have crisis management plans in place in the event of large earthquakes or large fires. Figure 5.3, the wheel crisis, shows various different types of other crises that public administrators must learn to plan for. Reputation crises can occur when an agency or an individual or even an organization has been put in a situation compromising unethical or a difficult situation that might affect the reputation of that agency or that public administrator. Economic crises occur, such as we're facing nationally now in 2010, where the economy tends to create shortage of revenue that as a result affects programs, plans, and public administration outcomes. Personnel crises may include strikes or wide-scale layoffs that sometimes occur during economic crises. Figure 5.3 gives us the wheel of crisis. We have natural disasters, as we discussed a little while ago, earthquakes, floods, and fires. We have economic crisis, such as the recession we're facing in 2010. An economic crisis certainly does affect public administration and public administrative policies because these economic crises tend to affect state budgets, which affect goods and services provided to constituents. We have personnel crisis, which may involve a strike or, in the case of budget constraints, layoffs. We have reputation crisis, where an agency or a public administrator may engage in a behavior that damages the reputation of the agency or the public administrator. So it's important that in each of these different potential crisis situations, We have a detailed plan of what specific steps must be taken by individuals within a public administration setting to be able to deal with the different types of crisis. The essential steps in crisis management, of course, one, prevention, those things which we can in our control prevent. Two, to prepare in the event of a crisis. And three, if the crisis does occur, to be able to contain the damage that the crisis is causing and to be able to get back to a system of normalcy. Remember that in program planning and management, it's important to involve as many possible stakeholders in the planning phase as possible. The larger a stakeholder group is in getting sign-off on a plan, the less likely there will be resistance to the plan down the road. Finally, performance measurement in planning and program management is important. To be able to measure a program's success or be able to measure a program's reach, it's important to be able to evaluate whether or not the program has worked. In the federal level, there are four types of program evaluations. We have evaluations for the process that evaluate whether or not a program is operating as it was intended. We have cost-benefit and cost-effectiveness analyses, which compare the program's output and outcomes with the cost associated with delivering those programs. We have impact evaluation to see whether or not the program's objectives are being met, whether it's microeconomically speaking or macroeconomically speaking. And then, of course, we have outcome evaluation, the long-term consequences of a program, assessing whether or not the program worked the way it was intended to work.